Discussions with Ajahn Suchin in Bangkok at Momdo Siddhis, September 1975. Edited by Jonathan and Sarah. Speakers include Venerable Dhammadharu, Venerable Jetanando, Venerable Gotasila, Soli, Gurlinda, Jonathan, Vince, John Moore, and other friends.
So what is the opposite of thinking?
When you see the visual object, you call your mother.
Yes. You think of, you define the object which is seen. But no object is seen through thinking.
So mother is no reality at all. But no.
Because which object is sound, is smell, is taste, is touch, is...
I'm not quite sure about this, because if you can call nama, nama, and rupa, rupa, and say the concept which describes the reality, why would mother or radio not have the same? Because radio, it's a rupa.
If you say that it's hard, hardness is real.
And we touch it.
Yeah. But what is radio? What is the characteristic of radio?
Yeah, it's not that I'm doubting. What I'm saying is, well, why should we say that words that nama and rupa?
Simple as to
the radio is not radio. Hardness.
Yeah, I understand.
Well, the word hardness describes the reality, which is hardness, describes. But radio, that word, doesn't describe an ultimate reality.
The word represents the characteristics here, but radio does not represent the characteristics here. It's only when we say that radio is in reality, at the moment of touching and hardness, we begin to deal with reality.
You mean that when one gives, one can give without panya, because at moment of giving is kusala citta, so one must be simply accompanied kusala citta.
Yes.
But at that moment, it's not satipatthana, which we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But when there is awareness, and one sees, or panya sees, that there is awareness,
mm-hmm.
and panya knows too that there are moments without awareness, it's the level or the degree of panya which knows the difference. Even at moment of awareness, there can be only awareness. And panya hasn't been developed to the degree that it appears as panya.
Yes, that's what I mean. Before we spoke about meditation and people for something besides their daily life, and they want to have tranquility. Is tranquility a chetasika which deals with everything or chetasika?
Concentration is one-pointedness chetasika which accompanies each citta. And there are many chetasikas which accompany kusala citta, and one is called citta pasati, when we use that word pasati. But when we use the word samatha bhavana or concentration, there must be many chetasikas arise together, mixed.
Concentration is every
kusala. Yes, it's one-pointedness chetasika, concentration.
Every
chitta.
How would we describe exactly foolish babble as the kusala kama kata? Is it full of verbal people? How would you describe foolish babble?
What
would be so strong as to...
When it harms or hurts the others.
Wouldn't that be...
when you have intention.
Slandering? No,
that's
different.
Good
speech? That would be
good
speech.
Frivolous.
Some
of the other. Examples from our own experience for each type of home speech.
Yes.
When we came to the last...
Have you met anyone who just speak Father Long?
Yes.
Just speak to oneself or to anybody?
It doesn't seem to make any sense.
So that is it. That person has intention to harm or to hurt the others by speaking that way. Writing poetry or use unnecessary, ordinary words just to provoke the others' anger or harm or hurt in different ways.
Provoke anger, for example.
To irritate.
Sarcasm.
Irritate.
Trying to hurt.
Yes.
But isn't that
poor soul's wandering? You want yourself to be loved and want the other to be enemy of the others, something like that. Pardon?
Come here.
Curse?
In this case, frivolous is not necessarily curse. Sometimes they speak of just yes. Speak not necessarily unwholesome.
And useful words.
Okay.
It depends on your intention. Curse? Yes, you have many curse words, I think, in German, in English, in Thai language. Not nice words. It depends on the factors of that dhammapada. When you see someone just talk. Not patha, but it is sampakalapa, because it's useless. But when that person has intention to harm or to hate by saying that way, with such and such words, that is patha. I don't think that is kammapata. You don't have intention to harm or to hurt. Because for akusala kammapata, the synonymous word is tujjarit kamma, dishonest deeds. But if you want yourself to be loved by saying that, oh, the other one is not as good as you, or that is slandering, wrong speech.
For the Dhamma Bhakta, there must be, all factors must be present or fulfilled. But just because all factors might be present, fulfilled, doesn't mean therefore it has to be a Dhamma
Bhakta.
Yes, sir.
All dharmas are anatta. We don't know whether what we are going to do, because citta must arise by conditions. Whether we'll go back and pay or we'll not, it depends on conditions right at that moment. If there is awareness and see that it's not so, then we do not cling to any type of nama and rupa, no matter kusala or akusala. That's why the Buddha taught us to be aware of reality which appears. He may think that I do like this, But when time comes, we will not do like that. We may not do like that.
I have still another question about karma and karma pasha. If somebody hurt you and you have very strong dosa and think, I could kill him,
then?
Is this akusala karma?
Akusala citta.
Not karma.
No. Just think, and when you really want to kill, it's different. With kusala citta, when it's satipatthana. And when it's not satipatthana, it can arise with vipaka citta. The birth consciousness of human being has sati accompanied. Because the patisanti citta of human being is maha vipaka, the result of maha kusala. But sati, which accompanies the rebirth consciousness, is not satipatthana. So satipatthana accompanies kusala citta. For those who are not arahata. Yes. Mm-hmm. Sati is wholesome cetasika. It cannot accompany a kusala citta, unwholesome citta. Yes. Mm-hmm. Do you think that it's not good just to have only rupa? If you cannot stop rupa to arise, but without nama at all, if there is no experience of object at all, is that good? There will be no lopa, no tosa, no akusala kama, no aversion, no irritation. Is that not good? If one can have only rupa without nama. Because if you have nama, then there must be many cetasikas, mental factor, accompanies citta, which experience object. There must be lopa, tosa, and other unwholesome cetasikas. So many people in the old days thought that it would be much better if there would be only rupa without nama. So they tried to develop tranquil meditation with intention not to have nama arises anymore. But it can be fulfilled only when that person has reached fifth jhana, fifth rupa jhana. And if the fifth jhana arises before death moment, it can condition only rupa patisanti. No nama patisanti, no vipaka citta arises as rebirth consciousness. Until that life is terminated. And it conditions nama patisanti again. Is that good or not? You waste your time. Because no citta, no cetasika, no opportunity to develop right understanding in order to be able to eradicate unwholesomeness absolutely. Thank you. It depends on whether one sees one's own accumulation or not yet. That's why, in order to develop satipatthana, one shouldn't try or force oneself to select object. But whatever appears should be object of sati, so that one can see one's own accumulation correctly. You don't have to find out. When sati arises, it sees accumulation immediately. All right, if this is banned book, whether you pick it up or not, you cannot say, you cannot tell, it depends. When you have picked it and read it, there can be sati. So you see your own accumulation, that you have accumulation to read it, or you have accumulation not to pick it, or accumulation not to open it. You don't have to force, but it depends on whatever happens at that moment. The person who does not pick it up understands his own accumulation, that he has no accumulation to pick it up. The person who picks it up but does not open it understands one's own accumulation. The person who picks it, open it, and read it understands his own accumulation as nama and rupa. Whether it depends on whether sati arises or not. You cannot tell whether one will stop reading or not, because each moment arisen by conditions. Who knows what will happen? But anything which happens must have conditions for it to arise. The right understanding of kusala and akusala will condition more kusala, little by little. This moment is the best example. There is seeing. What is seeing? There is doubt about seeing, because there is no awareness of seeing as seeing. There is doubt about visual object, because there is no awareness of visual object as visual object only yet. And there will always be doubt about seeing and visual object as long as there is no awareness of seeing as seeing and visual object as visual object. In daily life, just remember that whenever there is aversion, there is no metta at all. And this will help one to have less aversion, because you'd like to develop more metta. For example, if one hears the unpleasant words, should there be metta or should there be tosa?
We can't tell what should be.
Yes, but when one knows and understands more what's right and what's wrong, it would be conditioned for metta instead of tosa.
Yeah. It's always all just the same. Because I think if we try to have metta, it's just the opposite. Because if we try to have metta, I think we have strong dose of this mind.
And you are greedy for metta, as we said before.
As well.
But when you understand that metta is kusala, and you'd like to eradicate akusala. If you have more akusala, it's very difficult to eliminate or eradicate akusala. So one should develop all akusala, kammapatha or akusala, or kusala citta. This understanding will condition metta instead of dosa. The person expresses his feeling of gratitude, happy, pleasant feelings. Because some people may not like to be given at all. And it will condition such a strange feeling. Some may just want to give, not to be given. Pardon? Because the person has such accumulation for giving, not for being given. But when one understands that to be given is motivated by the other's kusala, one has to be given, one has to receive it, and one can receive it with kusala citta, not with strange people anymore.
I still don't understand why we have so many pleasant results, so many kusala vipaka through hearing, tasting, seeing, body sense. Because we perform so little kusala and so much akusala.
Do you count moments of experiencing pleasant and unpleasant objects?
No.
You cannot count?
No.
So how do you know? Because we share the same worlds, the same world, but many people experience only unpleasant objects. And many people experience more unpleasant object than pleasant object. So it depends on different, what you call, say, strength of kusala kamma or akusala kamma, which is ready to produce vipaka right at that time. Long, long time of experiencing pleasant feeling, and then suddenly, who knows when it will happen. When akusala kamma is ready to produce result, it produces. Akusala citta can arise through six doorways. Immediately, very softly brushed, you cannot realize it. That is the meaning of asava.
So many times when we think we see, we have a pleasant result.
As soon as there is seeing, after the follower of seeing, consciousness, receiving consciousness, investigating consciousness, determining consciousness, there can be a kusala citta, seven moments, seven times of seeing,
yes,
immediately. And one will understand the meaning of asava very soft. It's not so strong that you can feel it as lobha or tosa or moha. But there are conditions for akusala javana to arise.
So many times when we think that the object was pleasant, it must not have been pleasant at all.
You can feel it with akusala citta. When the object is pleasant,
I understand this, but what I don't understand is that we actually cannot tell just by our feelings whether the object is pleasant or unpleasant.
it's before moment of jhana, and you judge by moments of jhana, which is wrong.
And so if the jhana arrives, is that still good?
Certainly.
Immediately after the jhana?
Yes. How can you split or separate process that...
I just thought maybe it would be a little first and second jhana later. No?
You cannot split the continuous process of sati.
But in the beginning, when one first begins to develop satipatthana, one would expect to have agusala in the first jhanas and then later samsati.
That's right.
But later on,
That's why it said in the Tripitaka that the kinasava is the arahata who has eradicated the asava, kilesa, the soft and the hard of the strong kilesa. Because if you don't realize that it is asva after a moment of seeing, of lova or titi, then you cannot eradicate it. You think that I have no kilesa. But as long as you haven't developed panya, right understanding of reality, there must be doubt and wrong view of reality which appears. For example, if you experience light at that moment, no right understanding, whether it's seeing or whether it's visual object, no panya has performed its function at all. How can you say that it's right understanding of seeing or of the visual object which appears at that moment? And it indicates that there is at that moment the latent tendency of doubt. Because if there is awareness and panya hasn't been developed to the degree that it can see seeing as seeing and visual object as visual object, there must be doubt. What is it? Is it self? There must be the idea of self experiencing the light at that moment. No panya appears. So no panya performs the function of eliminating doubt of the object, whether it's visual object or whether it's seeing. Asava, or the self. Can I use that word self, or weak? Because it keeps on arising after seeing, hearing, through sensor and mind. Do you know that you have low power today? Maybe not, if it's not strong enough, like at this moment. Do you know that you have low power? If it's not strong, you may not know. But if good smell appears through nose at this moment, then you know that, oh, it's so good. You realize that that is lopa. But when that good smell disappears, do you have lopa? Do you realize that you have lopa? Because it's so soft, so naturally arises. And that's a level of kilesa, which is called asava, not kilesa. And there are 4 asava and 10 kilesa. Only the characteristic. One cannot really direct, but one cannot directly experience the arising and falling away of nama or rupa yet. But one assumes that that object has fallen away before the other object appears.
That's right. We assume because the next object is experience. So why does there have to be the experience of the arising?
Because the more there is awareness, the more panya sees reality as it is. Because you see the different characteristics. For example, sound and visual object, but you do not experience the arising moment of sound, not the the more you see reality, the more you have your comprehension of even at moment of the arising.
In the realities of nama and rupa, are there no positions?
Excuse me?
In the realities of nama and rupa, are there no positions?
There must be, but whenever there is only right understanding of the characteristic, one at a time, one at a moment, there is no understanding of where it is or where it appears. It cannot be together. Now you know that the sound comes from the left.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the awareness of sound mm-hmm. as sound,
mm-hmm.
because the knowing that it comes from the left mixed in
mm-hmm.
immediately. Mixed immediately after. And knowing, yes, knowing that it's from the left.
Means not that there is only one technique of meditation, but that there is only one way, in that way that you have to do it yourself, that nobody is going to do it, that nobody will tell you the truth. You have to find the truth. The other persons, the good friends, paryamitas, they can just help you to create the environment. They can just help you from outside to go on to find the kakayana or not to slip away from. So far I will speak about one right way. But not
yes.
There is only right way, I don't know, meditation or lukasina.
Can good friends help me to have more right understanding of the path or of the practice?
Yes.
By how? Because everyone would like to walk to practice the right way, but many people may not have the right understanding of the right way. So how can good friends help one to have more right understanding of the right practice? Tell who's good friend by one's behavior or by one's right understanding? By what? If one can have more right understanding from the person who helped them to understand reality as being not permanent, non-self, can we consider that person good friend? Because one should see realities as they are, which is not permanent. I think that then there must be two types of realities. All realities are anatta. By the word sape dhamma, anatta means all realities are anatta, but some are conditioned.
And some are unconditioned.
So the conditioned realities are not permanent.
Yes.
And sape anicca, sape dukkha, and sape anatta for sape dhamma. Appearance, all realities which are taught as conditioned realities and unconditioned reality. Can one experience them? For example, like seeing now, permanent or not? Develop right understanding. Does not know what should be the object of awareness, right awareness, for right understanding. To see it as it is, can one develop?
Okay. you need to find out either by the help of somebody else, or then he doesn't go the path which was trod by Buddha, then he has to find out himself as a Buddha.
I have read Tipitaka taught by Buddha, and he always mentioned seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, thinking, feeling, any type of reality which appears in the day. That can be development of right understanding of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, feeling at this moment too. But to know what is right understanding of seeing, very important too. Or what is wrong understanding of seeing? Because if there's no wrong understanding first, there is no need to develop right understanding in order to eliminate the wrong understanding of seeing, hearing. Before one can be sotapanna, the person has to develop right understanding of seeing before that person can directly experience the arising and falling away of seeing. I'd like to know what is the object of right understanding, and that is right awareness.
I think that the object of right understanding is to understand the
no, excuse me, I don't mean that sense or that meaning of object. The object of awareness, when one is aware of what? When you have wrong view, you cling to that view.
Yes.
So it has to arise with lopa mulacitta.
But usually anger arises because there is the idea of the self. And we get angry because we feel hurt about something or have aversion. So it is also a kind of
but
wrong
at
view.
The moment when you are angry, I don't think that you think of any view.
Anger just
arises. Yeah, at the moment of desire, you don't think of any view, I don't think.
But at the moment when there is wrong view, it indicates that you have desire or attachment to that wrong view.
Just suddenly somehow seems strange to me that why should anger or dosa not have wrong view?
There are many different views, and the one you like is the one you cling to. You take it as your view.
Yeah.
The lopa mulacitta with wrong view is different from lopa mulacitta with wrong view.
But can we know if there's no sati?
When one talks about wrong view, it's with attachment to, clinging to that view. And we can see, even it's not with sati, but we see that it's wrong view, which has to arise with lopa. But when that person does not talk about wrong view, but he's attached to just objects to eyes, ears.
I heard on the radio program that the lopa
because there is not even latent tendency of wrong view in his citta. This proves that how lopa is so very deep-rooted. Even without wrong view, there is condition for lopa to arise too. What's the condition of lopa? At this very moment, if there is. It depends on whether you see the nice thing in it or not.
Something nice in it.
That conditions lopa. When one develops sati, what eliminates the waiting tendency?
Kapanya.
Okay. So there must be Panya. If there is no Panya, nothing can eliminate latent tendencies at all. Only Sati cannot eliminate latent tendencies. Panya, which can distinguish Nama from Rupa, precisely. No doubt of the characteristic of Nama is different from Rupa. Because Rupa cannot experience anything. Rupa just appears through eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, mind. Cannot. So how can we be able to tell the difference between Nama and Rupa?
Panya.
One should develop sati so that Panya can see things as they are, see Nama as Nama, Rupa as Rupa. By being aware of the different characteristics, at the moment of seeing, when there is a bit, there should be right understanding of Nama as Nama, Rupa as Rupa. Sound is different from hearing. Don't take sound for hearing. Or think that sound is hearing. Because when used to know what sound is, it's very difficult to really understand the characteristic of hearing as only the experience of sound. Is that right? Because sound appears, but sound cannot appear if there is no hearing. But what is hearing when sound appears?
Because you see the sound, I mean, it seems like one long moment because it takes 2 minutes to walk past the building.
And what is the object of awareness at that moment?
At that moment, it was just the sound.
Hearing is not object of awareness yet. And that's not enough. They should be aware of awareness of hearing too, which is different from sound. Otherwise, there will be only awareness of sound. And it's the I always who hears, deep-rooted. Yes, but who hears at that moment? If Panya cannot distinguish hearing from sound, then it is still I, very deep-rooted I. Because if you would be asked, who hears? It's not the experience, the hearing yet. Which hears, because there is no awareness of hearing as hearing yet.
Could you explain about the difference between staying thinking through the mind or thinking about something where the object of thinking is unreal, a concept, and a sensual process where you experience a reality? Could you explain about the difference between
since the process has color or visual object as its object, which is not thought, since the process has sound as its object, which is not thought, because the sensible objects are rupa, different characteristic of rupa. Visual object is one type of rupa. Sound is another type of rupa, different types.
when something appears through the mind door, it seems to have a reality anyway, even though it's not ego.
For example, please?
Well, any thought, any idea, concept.
The reality. Think of your house. It's not here. It's only thinking about it.
The thinking is real.
Thinking is real, but the object of thinking, which is concepts, real. Because it's not here. But rupa, which object is here? Sound, here.
What about thoughts without concepts?
Thoughts and concepts?
Thoughts that don't have, that aren't concepts.
Thoughts without concept. Memory of past, visual object. Memory of past, a previous feeling.
I suppose you have to have any memory.
If there is no memory, you cannot think of it.
It seems to me that the thoughts are real, but the concepts of the thoughts are not real.
When you think of previous feeling some years ago, is it there at the moment when you think of it?
It's not real, but the thinking about the thoughts is real.
The thinking is real. But the object is not real.
I feel like I've had dreams that things in the dreams were new, that there weren't past experiences. Is that possible? Do they have to be in memory?
You mean what is real?
The thoughts or the dreams. What the visual objects. Are they visual objects?
Mm-hmm.
Are they, can they be?
Your eyes first?
No, I see them as visual objects.
There must be thinking.
Thinking about visual objects?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It seems to me that some of these visual objects and dreams are not from past experiences, but are new visual objects.
Haven't you experienced visual object at all? Like the blind? If you haven't experienced visual object at all, then you cannot dream of visual object. You can tell the other about your friend. Tell him, it's a dream.
You can tell what?
The others about your dream. The Arahata does not dream. We dream because we still cling to what we have experienced. So we dream of visual object, sound, smell, taste, bodily impression.
But we dream also object that we have experienced in past lives.
Can you tell that it's your past life in your dream? Who can tell whether it's past lives or not? Because we don't remember our past life.
But can Sanya remember something from past lives without development of samatha?
To remember past lives must have many conditions too. Some can remember past life even the person doesn't practice samatha, because there are other conditions too. Good memory or sati before moment of death or something like that. And different plans too. The deva can remember their past lives.
I just ask it because sometimes I have the idea, oh, this situation is not new to me. it's something as if I had lived it before. Something very strange. Many times it occurred, and such a funny thing that I wanted to ask you whether it was possible or not.
I don't know, but what I can say is that you have experienced visual object not only this life, past life, you have experienced visual object too, and visualized too. So if they are similar, you may think that you have experienced it before.
But what the Chetasika could know the truth about such an experience?
It cannot be, one cannot be sure whether it's past life or not, or it's just only your own thinking that is your past life. No proof.
How do you draw the line between clinging to someone and responsibility towards someone?
Somebody can tell whether it's clinging or whether it's loving kindness or wholesome chetasika. And once the is aware of clinging is clinging, one will have less clinging, because one sees that it's a kusala. And that's the way to develop wholesome chetasikas, like loving kindness or compassion.
When there's compassion for someone, does this involve greater responsibility towards others?
You will have?
Yes.
As much as you can, when you have great compassion.
What's the difference between loving kindness and compassion?
Compassion is karuna chetasika, which arises when you see someone suffered. You want the person to
be free from
to be happy or things like that. When you give something to someone, you want the person to be happy. At the same time, that person will have lopa, attachment to the object. But you don't think that you will condition lopa, because you have only loving kindness for the person to be happy. You don't have intention to cause lopa, his lopa. Why do you give if you know that it will condition the other's lopa? Because one cannot stop lopa to arise. Even you give or you don't give, there are conditions for akusala to arise. If you don't give, the person still has lopa, desire to get. And when you give, lopa arises too. Nobody can stop lopa. But the person can develop satipatthana and see lopa as lopa.
This is hitting in all degrees, like even giving useless things.
Giving useless things is giving, but it's not kusala.
Not kusala.
Mm-hmm. But giving is still giving.
It's not real giving.
It's not kusala. It's not wholesome. But giving is giving anyway.
This morning or last night, you were speaking about giving to, for example, when you give to a monk and you think about that particular man, or you give to the Sangha. That's two different types of siblings. Someone asked you a question about it this
morning. Giving to a particular bhikkhu.
Yeah, and said it's just the same. Just the same.
For him, he cannot have Sangha Dana when he gives because he thinks of the particular bhikkhu, not of Sangha.
So, the giving.
If he shows respect to Than Jetananda as showing respect to bhikkhu Jetananda, but it's particular bhikkhu, not Sangha. But if you don't think of bhikkhu Jetananda as bhikkhu Jetananda, you think of Sangha, then it's Sangha Dana or Sangha respect, show respect to Sangha, not to a particular monk. It's the same as when you give to any monk, but you have intention to give to the Sangha, not this particular monk. Then it's Sangha Dana. I think that when we think of the Sangha, we have more respect than think of the individual bhikkhu. Because one can find fault with bhikkhu, but one cannot find fault with Sangha.
I must ask whether it is possible to develop right awareness without understanding about karma and about rebirth.
And about?
Rebirth.
Rebirth? How can you be aware of rebirth?
You cannot be aware. But is it essential to understand about rebirth, or to believe that there is rebirth for having right understanding?
If there is cause, there should be result or effect. Is that right or wrong understanding?
Yes, right understanding.
Mm-hmm. So when there is karma, there should be the result of karma too.
Mm-hmm.
That is right understanding.
Yes.
As long as we have karma, there must be result of karma.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's karma, it's not the inoperative action. And rebirth is the result of karma too.
But people who don't believe in, that there's such a thing as karma believe one life only.
Karma in that one life at all?
No karma. So does it mean that such a person is precluded from having the right view of, was it right awareness of reality?
No awareness at all. But just no right awareness.
No awareness at all.
How does awareness of visible object have a bearing on belief in karma?
Seeing is reality.
Mm-hmm.
What conditions seeing?
I sense, for example.
Not just
I sense. No, I said for example.
There are many conditions.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
So one sees by being aware of seeing, that seeing is a reason, not by I, at one's own will. But there must be conditions for it.
Yeah.
And when seeing experiences the unpleasant object, it's uncontrollable.
Yeah.
And when seeing experiences pleasant object, it depends on something. So what is it? What is the cause of it? For seeing to experience the pleasant object. So find out of this moment whether there is only I sense as condition for seeing or other conditions too.
Well, can one just say that they don't understand conditions?
If they don't understand, they cannot have right understanding.
But conditions, it's very difficult to know conditions. Can one not just be aware without knowing the conditions?
By being aware, one will understand conditions better and better too. Because After seeing, there are different jitas too, like lopa and tosa. Mm. They are conditions too. Mm. So one begins to see more conditions for different types of jitta. For example, one will see that seeing is not the same as lopa mula jitta. Mm. And conditions for seeing is different from conditions of lopa mula jitta. Lopa mula jitta does not have dhamma as its condition. But for vipaka like seeing, it has dhamma as its condition. Even one does not believe in karma, but by being aware, one will learn to see the conditions for vipaka jitta too, which is different from conditions of lopa mula jitta and akusala jitta.
Since there can't be awareness of vipaka, I mean, sati cannot be aware, not vipaka, so sati cannot be aware of the karma. Karma.
Past or present?
Any.
Yes, at moment of giving, which is karma, one can be aware of it. One can be aware of kusala jitta, one can be aware of rupa. When one sees or understands present dharma, can one see or understand the past dharma too, that we have done?
What is karma? Is it reality?
Intention.
Chetasika.
Yes. Relation, jetana, jetasika. It can be wholesome jetana or unwholesome jetana. Unwholesome jetana accompanies akusala jitta. Unwholesome jetana accompanies kusala jitta.
But when we cannot see or experience previous lives, so isn't this talking about future lives and previous lives? Isn't that speculation?
It's like if there is no yesterday, can there be today? If there is no today, can there be tomorrow? You know about tomorrow?
No.
You know that there will be tomorrow?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know for sure.